All right, it's time again for the Sunday drive recording. So when I drive from Tucumcari, I'm in Tucumcari right now, back to always interesting driving. Driving from Tucumcari back to the crash site. Sleep the night, get ready for the next morning when I go back off to work yet again. Woo, doggy. And, gotta be careful here that I don't, get hit. I don't want to run into anybody. I don't want anybody to run into me. Anyway, I've noticed that the longer my recordings go, the darker, the nastier they tend to get as I get more exercise about what I'm talking about. So I'm gonna experiment with trying to do it now. You're going, where are all these recordings you're talking about, Nemro? And it's like, dude, Anyway, I tend to erase them when they get to a certain point. So I end up having no recordings. And that's not good. So the recordings are never very good in the car. Because right now I have no air conditioning. My intention, if I can, I put it off until I'm putting the car into the shop while I'm off in Hawaii. And along with the regular maintenance, at 120,000 miles, which involves some maintenance on the actual transmission, which I'm really wanting to have happen. I want them to also work on the cooling system too. Get that fixed. Get that going. Sunday recordings end up being kind of whatever I'm thinking about in relation to the gospel and the church. I'm probably going to go over ground that I've probably plowed many times, but I can't remember if any of those recordings made it onto the recording. So you might hear something you've heard before in these recordings, but only because of the haphazard way they get put together, I don't really keep track of what's already been discussed, and so I hope there's not a lot of repeats. And yes, I'm going to try to keep them shorter so that I don't go too far into the realm of of anger or hostility or being really passionate. Because that, I'm told that really offends people. When you get really passionate, it's better to be cool and calm and not talk about things that you feel passionate about, which I think is counterproductive to real growth. You know, passion's a good thing. Now, passion's kept to within bounds are better. But I think I would rather go for passion rather than just being kind of moderate. The point to where, yeah, I said there's, it's like throwing out the baby with the bathwater. Anyway, I'm going to talk about a subject that hopefully I haven't talked about too much in the past. It's about the church as kind of a first gear church. Can I tell you that this life is also kind of a first gear life? I was in the youth Sunday school class today, this Sunday, and I recall all over again how you have to kind of, it's really funny because the brethren have said in the past, you know, don't just give the youth pablum. They are hungry for real meat, and you know, milk before meat sort of things, and that's tricky for the church because, like I said, this is really a first gear church. There's a few things the church is killing itself to try and accomplish. And I hope to spell out a few of them. I don't know if I'll get to all of them at all. I'm sure there's other things the church really cares about. I'm sure if you talk to a general authority, they'd say, Nimro, you got it completely wrong. And you go, okay. He says, you know, it's not my church, it's your church. And they say, well, it's the Lord's church. And you go, yeah, tread carefully there, buddy. That's why I call it a first gear church. Christ has far more in store for us than the church as it stands is really prepared to even begin to provide. But that speaks to the whole thing of having a home-centered and church-supported situation. Missionaries of the church go out, and this is in scripture, so don't sit there and poo-poo it. I'm not poo-pooing the church being a first gear church. That's not a problem. But now you've got to see it, though. You've got to understand that to a certain extent. Once you get to a certain thing, a certain point in your spiritual development, need to do more. I don't want to say other things, but you need to continue progressing and growing, even though you go, I don't even know why I go to church anymore. I'm always talking about the same gosh golly things, and you go, yes. It is a church of conversion Christ. The doctrine of Christ during this life is to repent
and
be baptized. So that you can receive the Holy Ghost. That's Christ's big push. That's the church's big push. Once you have the Holy Ghost, and get to the point to where you're receiving inspiration, when you dig into the scriptures, you're getting insights from the Holy Ghost. That's really the church fulfilled. I'm eating some cheese too. Lisa keeps an enormous stock of cheese in our refrigerator. I've thrown out more cheese than we've actually eaten. So she'll buy some for some recipe. And she may never get back to it again. And then I go digging around in there. Every once in a while it comes up. Like Lisa was really, really feeling sick and horrible with her, kidney stone, and what they were doing to her to get her ready for them to operate on her to take it out, and I went through the fridge, and it was amazing how many blocks of just absolutely fuzzy dark green cheese there was in there. And I know you can scrape all that off and use what's left, but it was like, so, but see, that's the cheese I end up eating just to take care of it. Just so we don't lose it. And I might suffer ill effects from it. Who knows? Okay, I'm sorry. Getting back to the First Gear Church. Once you have the Holy Spirit with you, and you've gotten a good sense for getting inspiration through the Holy Ghost, then yes, you are, I don't want to say beyond the purview of the church, but you have fulfilled the purpose of being a patient in the hospital. Some people make the analogy that the church is not some wonderful shrine of perfect people. It is a hospital for sick people. And to be honest, I'm a little sketchy on that particular thing. It isn't a bad analogy. Mine is, one of the biggest purposes of the church is to get you to be a doctor. You're supposed to be there not to be one of the patients. You're there to be one of the doctors. And that we need to explain that to people when they join the church. You're not there to be a permanent sinner that constantly comes repenting to Christ for the things that you've done that week. Every Sunday you come and you partake of the sacrament, and it's a renewal of that covenant. It's a wonderful it's a wonderfully symbolic thing. But at some point, you need to get yourself to the point, and there are scriptures in the Doctrine and Covenants, you know, that say, you know, you're forgiven of your sin. There will be a certain person, Oliver Cowdery or Sidney Rigdon or someone, and he'll say, okay, you need to repent. Or he'll say, you're forgiven of your sins. Go and sin no more. It sounds familiar from the New Testament with the harlot or the woman caught in adultery. Sorry, nobody knows if she's a harlot. It doesn't say she's a harlot. It just says she was caught in adultery. The Christ gives the imperative. Sin no more. And you're going, wait a minute, I thought we were all sinners. How could Christ say, number one, that you're forgiven of all your sins, when it's like, well, tomorrow I'm going to come with a whole fresh new stock of all the sins I commit. And how come he tells me to sin no more? How come he's telling me to do something that most churches, most preachers say can't be done? You know, well, I'm always going to be a sinner. And, you know, you're trying to make people feel better. Well, we're all sinners. And you go, well, it says one needs to get past that at some point. You don't need to be the patient that's constantly in the hospital begging for more help. We need you to get past that and to the point to where you're a doctor. You're still going to make some mistakes occasionally, hopefully a lot less frequently. And, you know, we expect you to be a doctor. Now, sometimes you can put that into the realm of, we want you to be the young women's president. We want you to be the bishop. We want you to be the stake president. These are kind of doctor roles if we're to keep this whole hospital analogy running. Now, okay, so that's, I'm going to try and say a few more things about it, but that may be all that needs to be said, is that hopefully that gives a person a perspective, because a lot of people say, I've been in the church for 30 years, I've been through gospel doctrine, teaching on the Book of Mormon, seven or eight times now, you know, and they go, well, just keep on going, keep on pressing forward, you know, you're gonna always get new insights, which is true. I'm not discounting the fact that going over the basics over and over and over and over and over and over again doesn't have some virtue to it. It's got virtue to it. That is not a bad way to continue to grow in your learning and your understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not a bad thing. Of course, I find it funny that somebody who's been a member of the church for 40 years, who's gone through each one of those classes 10 times, and somebody comes and says, we want you to be the gospel doctrine teacher. You've been through this class a lot. You should be able to impart a lot of interesting insight into what's being said. And you'll see them start shaking their head and going, oh no, I can't do that, no sir. And you're going, okay. So you're wanting to stay patient, a tired patient, somebody who's been in that hospital for so long, laying down on a gurney, going, oh, please give me more, or I need more morphine or something, right? And when somebody says, you know what, you know so much about the pains you're having, I think you can help other people that have those pains. It's time for you to become a nurse or a doctor. It's time for you to get up here and to start telling people what's happening and your insights into it. And there's a lot of people that have no interest in that. None. Zippo. Zero. And that's sad. Because it's like, no, I prefer being in first gear all the time. I have no interest in going to any other level than that one right there. You know, I understand that from my own personal kind of lazy standpoint. But we want you to become that next person, that doctor, that bishop, that gospel doctrine teacher, that seminary, early morning seminary teacher. Oh man, there's a job. I really have great respect for early morning seminary teachers and how much they have to do. And especially the ones that aren't professionals, they aren't paid, you know, they do an amazing work. And wow. Oh, regardless, and you go, so what does the second gear look like? And you go, it looks like the kinds of, I've been in a lot of bishopric and branch president offices. I've been a clerk for a very long time. And it ends up being how much of your own personal growth and development in the gospel, how much of the Spirit can you muster to help you grow and continue growing and progressing? Maybe even outside of a church setting. I think President Nelson is trying to entice, through the changes that have been made, people to shift into second gear. And that's all that is too, that's second gear. You're still not going very fast. You're still not, you know, you're still not going at interstate speeds. You're still not doing the you know. Now that doesn't mean individual people can't get to that level, can't get to the point where it's like, well, I'm in like third or fourth gear. And there's nothing to say that that's ever said. You don't talk that way and you don't, and it's really kind of counterproductive to even feel that way or think that way. Oh, let's see if I can. I'm getting enough air in here. I'm not. This isn't going to last very long at all. It's going to get hot in here. Oh, it already is. It's already hot. I can't do this right now. If it was in the evening, I could close up the windows and probably be okay, but the sun's up. Sun's up pretty high. I'll probably get to my destination at sundown, which I'm usually quite late. Sometimes I don't get there until 10 o'clock at night. And I got off early today. Frankly, when I'm not around Lisa, I don't feel a great need to hang around. You know, the boys are off doing what they're doing. I hope it's spiritual. I really do. Anyway, so yeah, I said, so yes, I consider the church to be the first gear. It's mostly there for people who need to, who are just learning about the gospel, are getting into it, about the first maybe 5 years of your development in the church happens at church. You know, a whole lot of, I'm being around a lot of people. I need to have a lot of other people around me to keep my spirituality up, you know. You hope after 5 years that you have a testimony that other people who are joining the church kind of rely on and say, oh yeah. You know, that's someday I hope to be like that person, and not to be like on levels or anything of the sort, but to say, you know, I want to have my own testimony like that. It's I love hearing other people's testimonies, and I follow the example of people around me, and that's all great, but, you know, it's like church basketball. At some point, church basketball needed to give way to something else. And that's kind of what happens. You know? In 5 years, you should expect to be in positions of relative leadership on the local level. You should be the one up giving lessons, sometimes even on a regular basis. You should be somebody who's helping plan spiritual experiences for other people to have. The little social get-togethers, the little, well, I don't want to call them little. The dinners, the parties, all that. That should be something that, that people who perhaps are not as spiritually along the path as you are should be thinking about, should be engaged in, where somebody else should be engaged in more things. If you're, I don't want to tear up people who just have a certain capacity and that's all they're going to probably do. This is an indictment of them. A person who is baptized and a person who repents of their sins, they have just as likely a path toward eternal life, a life like God's, celestial kingdom, exaltation, as anybody else. We're not talking about that. You have to understand, that's what this earth life is for. There are only a handful of scriptures that talk about anybody beyond first gear. Christ is about first gear in most of the things he talks about. The church is certainly engaged in the first gear. It's all about getting people baptized and helping them get converted. That's what the church is about. not in an assembly line fashion, but, you know, but to help people that are in the first gear and to try desperately to get them to further gears. The way you do that is by helping them connect with the Spirit, helping them connect better with the Savior. Not as somebody to be pled with to save, but to say, how can I serve others? How can I do? How can I be a part of your mission, Lord? That's second gear, as far as I'm aware of. That second gear is, what can I do to help more people come unto Christ? Now that you've come unto Christ, how are you going to help more people do that? That's second gear to a large extent. Trying to remember some of the scriptures that talked about that talk about second gear. There isn't a ton of them. Our biggest thing is to try to get you to the temple and to get you to go to the temple often. That's an amazing way to get you shifted into second gear. That's why having a temple recommended, going to the temple on a regular basis, really kind of is something that leadership looks for in getting people to, or in choosing who's going to be in leadership, is to see those kinds of things. Because if you're going to the temple on a regular basis, if you're committed to doing that, if you bear testimony of those kinds of things, there's something that's indicative of someone who is operating in second gear. Although you're going to spend the bulk of your time helping people who are still in first gear. And like in that hospital, you're the doctor, they end up being the patients, and you're helping them, although it's kind of tricky because you're actually trying to get them to the point to where they can be doctors too. Anyway, I'm not thinking of the particular scriptures that where Christ talks about second gear. I'm sorry. I had one, and then I got sidetracked. And it's gone. All right, so that's, I'm going to leave this there. Not to be offensive to a soul. Like I said, being in first gear is not bad. You can go all the way to exaltation in second gear. In first gear. That's Christ's promise. Is that that's attainable. Now you're going to have to do more, and chances are you'll end up in second gear. It isn't something you earn. It's something you become. A second gear person. And, it's a wonderful thing. Anyway, so yeah, we're going to end it here. And this way I can actually record this and actually publish it without saying, oh man, I went too far and I got too passionate. I started screaming. That was bad. And I'm just going to get rid of it. So that's where I stand. Okay. Great. Oops, where's my thing? There it is. Have a nice day.